The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on September 9th, 1979 in Los Angeles, California.
Honor for me to be present here in New Dwaraka, Los Angeles branch of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is the last place which I visited. And from here I got the order from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to go to India . Basically the purpose of going was that in Vrindavan and in Sri Mayapur, Vrindavan is the birthplace of Krishna's pastimes, and Sri Mayapur is the birthplace of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose deities are here on the left. So there was no guest house owned by our own society there, although there are hundreds and thousands, actually thousands of temples by sister organizations. But we had no place of our own. So Srila Prabhupada said that we require to have a wonderful guest house and temple and community so that the devotees from all over the world can visit with a very nice arrangements and facilities these most holy places of India. Actually, this Krishna conscious movement is very widely practiced in Eastern India, as it is seen here, especially in the states of Bengal, Orissa, Assam, Tripura, Manipur, and by the Hindu population of East Bengal or Bangladesh. They chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and worship Radha Krishna deities. Exactly, but possibly with not so much grandeur as we are seeing here. So, when we first came from the west to India, and the people saw how the Western people are taking to their culture, they became very proud and very happy to know that the greatness of the culture of the Vedas was being appreciated by people all over the world. Actually, our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada told them that all of you should come out and preach this culture all over the world. Spread the great culture of Krishna consciousness. Don't be enamored by the Western civilization, so-called progress, thinking that that alone will be enough to make you fully satisfied. Because at any moment if the petroleum runs out, the civilization will be topsy-turvy. At any moment, if the atomic bombs are thrown between Russia, America, whatever nuclear nations there are, then the civilization as we know it today will no longer exist. So you should go deeper into yourselves, seeing that the Western culture does not give all the answers. Many of the newly educated Indian youth are very much enamored. I see long lines of Indian, because I had to also wait outside the American consulate to get my visa. So there was a long line. But I'm only coming as a tourist, so I got immediate visa. But for those, they want resident permit to stay in the West. That's all right, no harm. But the point is that this will not satisfy anyone. As we see that all over the world, people are looking for a more natural way of life. They're hankering for a purpose to their life. So the vast population of India, 80% are living in the rural communities. Their lifestyle has not changed much over thousands of years. And everywhere we go, we get such a wonderful reception. We get such a wonderful reception at our recent Rath Yatra festival in Calcutta. The All India Radio announced that, according to their estimate, 3 million people attended. The government gave it holiday in the afternoon so everyone could go for the chariot festival of Lord Jagannath. We had an 8-day festival. Every night at least 50,000 people were attending the program. So when we have our yearly Mayapur festival, from all over the world, devotees visit Sri Mayapur. At that time, our Indian devotees, about 700,000 people visit over a period of 3 days to participate in this great ceremony, the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born 500 years ago. He appeared, reviving the ancient message of the Vedas that predicted that in the Kali Yuga, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method to counteract the trend of this Iron Age or Age of Kali. The Kali Santanai Upanishad gives this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This Shastra or scripture was written about 5,000 years ago. The slogan goes, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Iti Sodasakam Nam Nam, Kalikalamashanashanam, Nataparatta Upaya, Sarvavede Shadishyate. That means, Iti means the aforesaid, Sodasakam. Soda means solo, 16, Nam Nam, 16 names. The above mentioned 16 names. If one counts Hare Krishna, there's 16. The 16 names mentioned above counteract all the bad qualities of the Kali Yuga. Technically, we're in the Iron Age now. This is known as Kali Yuga in Sanskrit. So there's no other alternative to counteract in this Kali Yuga. And this is confirmed by all of the Vedic literatures. Sarva Vede Shudishyate. In the Narada Pancharatrika, written by Narad Muni, the great sage of the demigods, he states that all of the Vedic mantras, mantra means, mon means mind, and tra comes from the word tran, or delivering. So mantra means to deliver one's mind from materialistic thoughts to the transcendental ecstatic realization of oneself and Krishna, the Supreme Being. So mantra, the supreme or Mahamantra for this Kali Yuga, is this 8-word, according to Narada Pancharatrika, all the mantras combined, potency has been put in the 8 words of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, excuse me. This 8 words, the first Hare Krishna. So, this has been, actually, although this is widely practiced in Eastern India, actually in Vrindavan, in all over India, this Maha Mantra is chanted. And the people in other parts of India may worship Ramchandra, another incarnation of Krishna, or may worship Krishna in different forms. But this Maha Mantra is the unifying factor. At the Kumbh Mela, where 33 million people attended the year before last, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra could be heard throughout the whole campgrounds, as well as the chanting of Jai Jagadisha Hari, glories to Lord Jagannath who is being worshipped here. So, the thing which Srila Prabhupada tried to impress was that just like a railway runs on 2 tracks, the ideal life cannot be one-sided materialism or spiritualism, but has to be the combined spiritual and practical life together. Therefore, he has given the practical life of Krishna consciousness. Actually, we are a program where thousands of our friends and devotees are worshipping Krishna in their home. They have an altar or a picture or a murti established in their house of Krishna, and they open their heart to Krishna. They offer their love to Krishna. They prepare the food in their house very nicely and purely and offer that to Krishna. And they sit down with the whole family, wife and husband, children, and for half hour, hour, they chant Hare Krishna together. This creates a wonderful united mood. This creates a spiritual awakening. This is known as our Krishna Conscious Household Program. So, this is very popular. And this is practiced practically by all the householders throughout India. It should be taken advantage of. While here in America, we can live here only so long as this body lasts. When this body is finished, then we again have to take rebirth. We may not take rebirth in America. Where we will take rebirth, that is a very important question. According to the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who is born, he must die. Anyone who dies, he again must be born. So according to our consciousness, according to how we awaken ourselves spiritually, Krishna consciously, God consciously, that will dictate that after this body, what future birth we will obtain. So, along with trying to lead a happy life in this life, which is naturally our birthright, everyone has a right to enjoy happiness to the full extent without causing any harm to others or inflicting pain on oneself. Everyone has that birthright, but one should prepare himself for the next birth. Someone may work so hard to be a president or a prime minister, whether of India or United States. But in his next birth, he may become the bed bug in the chair of that president. He is so attached to the seat, he may become one of the bugs in that seat and have his heart's desire fulfilled. He wants to remain in that seat always. So he may stay there as a bug in the upholstery. According to one famous astrologer, one of the prime ministers of India took his next birth as a white dog in Sweden, where he was kept by a very wealthy industrialist who gave him very wonderful foodstuff and accommodation. Now, no one can say, it could be, how can we say that after this birth, where is the next birth? Recently, in a big scientific conference attended by the Bhaktivedanta Institute, among 78 or 90 different nations' representatives at Rome, on the modern science in lieu of theistic understanding, there were so many different supporting evidences for reincarnation. One man had taken some type of Killen photography of, at the time of death, some ephemeral form leaving the body. Then there was one man who documented, he was an American scientist. He has a research crew of about 300 working under him. So his research was to document and try to find scientific proof to substantiate reincarnation. So he would use hypnotism. He would take his patients back into time. Say that someone's 40 years old, there was one lady. He kept taking her back. All right, now you are 28, now you're 27, now you're 26, now you're 20, now you're 18, now you're 10, now you're 5, now you're a baby, you're 1. Now you're just 1 week old. Now you're in the womb. And take right into the womb. Then, beyond before that, what were you? Then again they go back. In this way, he gave one with slides and everything on movie how he took one patient back. She was having disturbance in her mind. So he took her back, and from 1812, two births before, she had her heart broken by being deserted by her husband. So, the name of the husband, where they lived, birth certificate, first of all they got the name, the address, everything she said under hypnotism. Then they went to that place, looked up in the old birth records, found that the names tally the marriage record, photographed the place, she described exactly what the street looked like in 1812, what the house looked like, they got old pictures of that time, or drawings, and this way they were able to substantiate. But definitely, this is not our first birth. We have been born many times before. But these are very qualified scientists connected with various universities and foundations, and so many people have different proofs. Of course, The evidence doesn't have to be found out with such a long, drawn-out process. One can easily find out in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the principal text of India. I was invited as the representative of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness at the World Conference of the World Vishwa Hindu Parishad, the World Hindu Parishad at Allahabad last winter. This is held every 12 years. So at that conference, the people were very interested to hear how their Sanatana Dharma, this Krishna conscious movement, is being accepted around the world. They were very interested and very pleased to know how the Western people were appreciating and there were 200,000 delegates present from different nations and all over India, and they were very pleased to hear this, I must admit. So at that time, that whole assembly recommended that every Hindu should read the Bhagavad Gita, and they should worship Tulsi in their home. You will find that every day, every Krishna conscious family and every Krishna conscious temple is busily engaged in reading and preaching the tenets of this Bhagavad Gita. And Tulsi is being worshipped daily. I was very pleased to see how here in the Western Hemisphere, even in the cold places, Tulsi is being worshipped. Tulsi is a tropical plant sacred to all Krishna devotees, which comes from a part of India. This is a spiritual plant. So this has been established all over the world. And this is very encouraging. Actually, this is nothing unexpected for us, because this was predicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. He predicted, Prithivi te ache jato nagar adi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mor naam, that as many cities and villages all over the world as exist, each one of them will have this chanting of Lord Chaitanya's message. So it simply took some time for the Lord's desire to fructify. Very shortly, we can expect a change in the trend of the people. Already, there has been a very great revival in different parts of the world. The country of Bangladesh is 85% Muslim and 15% Hindu. All of the 15% means about, because there's 80 million, so 15 times 80, how much is that? About 12 million Hindus. All of them are Vaishnavas. All of them are chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When we went there, we had a very big public program in a town called Mymensingh, which is in the northern part of Bangladesh. And when I was greeted at the train station, the devotees of Krishna came and they said, welcome from the minority group. They're very much limited in being allowed to practice in that country. They're a little bit oppressed by the majority group. Being separated from the majority of followers in India. So we had a meeting, and that evening at 6 o'clock, the meeting was scheduled. I arrived about 4 in the afternoon. Within that 2 hours, there was no publicity except word of mouth. 12,000 people gathered, and they were very eager. They told me that they had been told that the whole world, America, England, everywhere had become followers of Islam. And that Christianity as well as Hindu religion have practically become extinct. Simply a few people in India follow the Krishna conscious movement, otherwise the rest of the world is all following Islam. So they said that they were feeling very much intimidated, and they felt a great sense of anxiety, thinking that their original culture had, according to the propaganda, had died out. Of course, it's not the fact. When we showed them how all over the world people are practicing, then, and how everyone in the whole world is not following Islam, so then they're very happy that they didn't have to grow those beards and that they could freely practice. Well, after this meeting, the local authorities all came, because a week before that, the president of that nation had held a program in Mymensingh town, but only 5,000 people attended. So they wanted to know that who was the person who had twice as big a crowd as the president of the country. So I had to explain. They thought that I was trying to do some kind of revival. So I had to explain to them. So in some parts of the world, other than India, the people who practice this Sanatana Dharma, actually, they are not given a full chance. And in countries like America, where freedom of religion is there, in England, different places, of course, they have the freedom to practice this. They should take, definitely everyone should take advantage. There are many countries in the world where one doesn't have the freedom to openly practice the spiritual development, the process of self-realization, the religion of his choice the way he wants to. So it's a great feeling to be back in a country which allows people to practice the religion of their choice freely and is protected by the law. People should try to take advantage. This freedom does not exist in the communist countries. Does not exist in many countries. Because if a person knows who he is, if he knows who is God, he gets such a deep strength that these type of ideologies don't like that strength to grow. By people being very morally strong, very spiritually strong, they become empowered by God to do great things. Generally, people, the opposite trend is people simply try to know their bodies And then what happens is they become the slave of these bodies. It's like having six wives. We have six senses: taste, smell, hearing, seeing, feeling, and our mind. So if a man comes home from work and he's greeted by his six wives, each one grabbing one the leg, one the arm, one the other arm, one the other leg, one the waist, everyone grabbing, come with me, come with me, come with me. A big dilemma, which way to go? Like that, each sense, taste this, smell this, hear this, see this, touch this, think this. The whole world we think for our enjoyment. Everything simply for us to enjoy. This is not the actual fact. Everything was actually created for Krishna to enjoy. We can only enjoy these objects if we give true homage. So what happens, instead of becoming the controller of our senses, we are controlled by the senses. We are dragged here and there. Unfortunately, each sense has got such an appetite, but it's only got limited capacity. I was recently visiting His Divine Grace Jayatirtha Maharaj's temple in London, and he served me such a wonderful feast, and my tongue was anxious to go on taking this prasad. But I found that the capacity of my stomach was limited. So after just paying due respect, I had to ultimately stop. You see. I saw in Dallas, in St. Louis, there was a restaurant, all you can eat, prasad. But you see, all we can eat is limited. No one can eat so much. But the tongue, our sense, has got unlimited appetite. We can go on feeling, we can go on tasting, we can go on seeing. You see, but actually what happens is that we become bored. The appetite may be there, but the eyes will become tired, the senses will become tired, there's a capacity. The appetite is great, but the senses are all limited. Because we're dealing with limited material instruments. So Krishna consciousness awakens the spiritual taste, where one develops his spiritual senses. And he perceives spiritual realization, spiritual bliss. That is obtained by pleasing Krishna's transcendental senses. Just like the devotees, they're chanting Hare Krishna. And while they're chanting, they feel so joyous. They start to dance and raise their hands. And sometimes they're just shouting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, not caring what anyone thinks. Because they're feeling great joy from within. You see, so this is natural. This is not artificial. So our principle is that everyone should chant Hare Krishna here with us, in their home, on the street, on the bus, in their car, on the plane, anywhere, in the closet, in the field. No restriction. Any time, day, night, morning, noon. And after chanting, like today, come and take a feast. Eat plenty of Krishna prasad, the spiritual foodstuff. Supernatural foodstuff. So this is a very natural process. And then if one is a little philosophical, if he wants to go deep into the subject matter, what is this universe? Who am I? What have I come here for? Where am I going? And then read these books. Study from His Divine Grace, Srila Rameshwar Swami Maharaj, the Acharya here of Los Angeles. He will give you deep insight into these teachings, how to fulfill one's life fully. Actually, I have come here simply to get his association and some advanced teachings from him. You see, so everyone that has come here, they are very fortunate. Don't think that you have come here by accident. You have come here as ordained by Krishna. Due to some deep spiritual heritage, possibly from previous births or from this birth, Krishna has attracted all of those people present here. Now, they can try to get the greatest wealth that is available here. Take advantage. Everyone that has come here, they should try to understand what is the best thing I can get from coming to this Krishna conscious temple. I see the thing I noticed when I was on the airplane. I'm a little afraid, to tell you frankly, when I get on the airplane, not because I'm afraid of the flight, but after being in India for 10 years, there the people are a little bit gentle. Here, I find that the American public are very beautiful, very strong, but I find them very unhappy, long-faced. And so I feel uneasy with them. But when I come to the more awakened, the devotees here and the guests who are awake, I see smiling faces. I see effulgent, illuminated faces. And I feel fully at home. I see that the absence of fear. Everyone in this world is fearful because no one is protecting him. But every devotee is fearless because Krishna is protecting the devotee, and the devotee feels that protection. Some may say, what is this protection? How can I believe in all this? If one chants Hare Krishna, he will be saved from the greatest dangers. And by chanting, one will feel the protection. All the obstacles in his life are removed by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Whether one decides to live here in the community, or whether he's just practicing in his home, in his spare time, as much as he takes shelter of this holy name, this powerful sound vibration, the names of Krishna, so much he'll be protected in his life, and he'll become fearless and happy. That I see as soon as I came, how happy everyone looks. Those are the guests who just look at the devotee. Don't they look happy? How is it that they get so happy? Each one of you should ask yourself, you should study in yourself, what is the secret of happiness? Will I get happy from external things or from my internal mind? What makes me happy? We should study. Obviously, our mind makes us happy. Our inner thoughts, from inside comes happiness. Just like now it's very warm here. A cold shower is happy. It makes one feel good. In the winter, when I was in Germany, it was quite cold. There the cold shower was not pleasant. But the same water temperature is there, but one place I'm happy, one place I'm sad. in the sense of material happiness and pleasure and distress. So ultimately, that's a very superficial example, of course. Ultimately, happiness comes from within. But we're looking for happiness from without. Therefore, we are frustrated. Therefore, although we're dragged here and there by our very willing servants, our senses, we are not satisfied. So the devotees who completely take shelter of Krishna's name, who dedicate their every bit of intelligence in serving Him with their bodies, mind, and words, they get the full nectar. And as much as one takes shelter, so much he'll get the taste. This is guaranteed. Anyone can try. There's no charge to chant Hare Krishna. No secret that one has to pay to get. It's an open secret. But only the most intelligent, open-minded, broad-minded person can understand. When I was in St. Louis there, they had that restaurant. They're charging now $1.50, all you can eat. They commented that when they said free, no one would come. Because everyone was afraid of something free, it must not be any good. So when they put a price tag, $1.50, what a bargain! All you can eat for $1.50. When it's free, that was no bargain. See, but when it was $1.50, it's a real bargain. So if we put a price tag, $200, you sit down and chant Hare Krishna, then everyone will say, oh, this is very good for mental peace and great mental strength. But no, our principle is we can't take money for giving this Hare Krishna mantra. So then people say, free, well, must not be very good. But sometimes the best things are priceless. So this Hare Krishna mantra is something priceless. So, I think that the other programs... Everyone must be hungry. We ask questions in this time? Are there any questions? How can he attach his mind? How can he tax his mind? Income tax. It has to be, you see. Everything that comes in the mind, everything that comes in the mind, that has to be employed. If it's for the service of Guru, then we accept. And if it's against the principle of pleasing Guru and Krishna, then we reject. It's not, I don't find you taxing one's mind to please the spiritual master is not the same as taxing one's mind in the ordinary sense. That is a burden of love. If one loves someone, then he will think very deeply how to please that person. If one appreciates what someone has done for him, then he loves him. If one sees the good qualities in someone, that appreciation can take the form of love and faith. So the spiritual master, even if he gives one teaching, one syllable, according to the Vedas, that means the disciple is eternally indebted. That no amount of repayment can repay that debt. So the disciple, seeing how the spiritual master has taken him from the very dangerous position of suffering in this material world, of being in a fearful position, of being subjected to repeated birth and death through reincarnation, that he has given him his eternal consciousness, his eternal happiness, his eternal knowledge, has given him a new lease on his eternal life. So naturally, he will think that this person has done so much for me, what can I do for him? It's only fair, it's only an honest expression. When someone has taken care of all of one's needs, if that person is truly grateful, if he is an honest, sincere person, he must be grateful. And think, what can I do in repayment of the great gift my spiritual master has done for me? If someone is not thinking to repay that debt, then he is an ingrate. And he is a little bit foolish. He has not been able to understand the value of the gift he has received from the Guru. So, therefore, one should try to understand what is that thing which is given by Guru? How is that more valuable than anything else? And one can appreciate that valuable gift. Naturally, he will think that, what can I give? What humble offering can I make? And so, that thinking, if you want to call it taxing, you see, that expression of one's reciprocation of a deep, intense love, that is a natural expression which one will feel when he is grateful for the great gift he has received from the spiritual master or guru. So, God's law, that is the religion. So if we are following God's law, then we are following the principles of religion. But if I just say that, well, I'll do this or that, that we cannot accept as religion, even if I do it with a very devotional mood. It has to be followed by the codes of the scripture. So, most religions naturally have some scripture. And we find that the basic tenets of every scripture is in the Bhagavad Gita, in a very scientific and concise form. So, by following the tenets of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna guarantees that one will not have to again take birth again in this material world. But in this Kali Yuga, one has to chant a bona fide name of God. Now whether one chants Krishna, Ram, Govinda, Madhusudan, Hari, whatever, there are millions and millions of names of God which are authorized by the bona fide scriptures. So if one very diligently chants those names, he will awaken his God consciousness. But ultimately, to get complete liberation or freedom from this material world, one has to find a bona fide spiritual master and accept training from him. If one can study and learn everything about being a doctor, but if he doesn't go to the school, enroll in the course, take his internship, he won't get his MD, he won't get his practicing certificate. In the same way, one can study or he can do a little bit and that will help him on the way. But if he's really serious about finishing up in this life, then he has to go to an expert. He has to go to a qualified spiritual master and accept training from him. He should first of all, he doesn't have to initially commit himself, he should just take the training for some period of time. And when he's thoroughly convinced, then he should make a commitment and go deep into the... Once one gets initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, then he's guaranteed that in a very short time, his whole material cycle of birth and death is finished. without a bona fide instructor or spiritual master, there is no hope to get out of this material world. One may make some advancement along the path. Ultimately, one has to find a bona fide teacher who is acting as a pure representative of God. This is confirmed by all the scriptures. And that teacher will give him the suitable service, the suitable method whereby he can purify himself of his anattas, his unwanted material contamination, and give him true spiritual wisdom to try on one's own by hit and miss. Is it very dangerous and very painful way? And to take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master is sure, easy, and very quick. One can immediately feel, in a very short time, the change in his consciousness upon getting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and following his instructions explicitly. Just like if we cook, today you're going to have the feast. The way it's prepared, they put in the water, they put the spice, one after each, there's a method. If one follows the method, then it tastes very nice. If one puts too much fire, it'll get burnt. If he puts too much salt, it won't taste well. Won't taste good. So there's a system. In the same way, one has to learn the system of becoming freed from this material world, from the expert spiritual master. If one tries on his own, even in cooking one may succeed, but in this science one cannot succeed. And cooking, you'll have to eat a lot of burnt food. If you get an instruction from a qualified cook, it's very easy. So you should find out someone who knows this science. When there are so many names of God, what's wrong with chanting Hare Krishna? Is there anything wrong with chanting Hare Krishna? God is the same. There's only one supreme. So if one of his Krishna means all attractive, the most beautiful person, is there a better description, a nicer name to call God? The person who has got the essence of all attractiveness, of all pleasure. Everything nice we see in the world, everything beautiful we see in our friends, in our fellow people, in the world, everything, the nice, the essence, the sweet taste in the water, the light of the moon and the stars, the beauty in women, the strength in men, every good quality. You see, all the attractive qualities are present in God. And so the name Krishna means that person who is all attractive, reservoir of all pleasure. What a wonderful name. Who else can fit that description except for God? Except for the Supreme Being? Well, there's five different kinds of liberation. In this Kali Yuga, one has to chant the name of Krishna. In previous ages, there were different names of Krishna which were chanted, and there are different processes of a yoga. One can get impersonal liberation by practicing mental speculation of the Vedas, which is known as jnana. It is possible that one can understand impersonal liberation, which is known as suja mukti. But that is not considered as real mukti or real liberation by the devotees, because one can fall down from that position. The real liberation is one's individual spiritual identity remains intact, and he sees himself and the Supreme Spirit always. So that particular perfection of liberation cannot be achieved without surrender to the Supreme Person, Krishna. I repeat, any one of his million names could be chanted, unlimited names could be chanted. It doesn't have to be the word Krishna. But Krishna is recommended for this age. We chant Jaya Govinda, Jaya Jaya Gopala, Jaya Jaya Govinda. We chant so many different names. So in a previous age, they chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya is the name for Krishna. But that was the mantra in the previous age. At that time, people could also chant Hare Krishna. But the recommended name was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In this way, every age has a particular name which is recommended. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most powerful, because the people in this age are the most sinful, fallen. Therefore, this name is recommended.